Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. All this month, we're talking about the Osteenification of American Christianity. It is the book that is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. This is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American Christianity. In fact, it is a new brand of Christianity perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. Sometimes Joel Osteen's prostitution of Scripture is so excessive that it quite literally leaves one breathless. Consider his rendering of Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden. Adam's offense, according to Joel Osteen, was not rebellion against God, but rather believing Satan's suggestion that there might be something wrong with him. Listen to this.
Back in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they hid. In the cool of the day, God came to them and said, "Adam, Eve, where are you?" They said, "God, we were hiding because we were naked." I love the way God answered them. He said, "Adam, who told you that you were naked?" In other words, who told you that something was wrong with you? God immediately knew the enemy had been talking to them. God is saying to you today, who told you that you don't have what it takes to succeed? Who told you the best grades you could make in school were C's rather than A's? Who told you that you're not attractive enough? Who told you that your marriage is not going to last? Who told you something was wrong with you?
If there is a greater prostitution of Scripture, quite frankly, I can't think of it. I mean, this comes at the very beginning stages of the Bible, where Joel Osteen takes the words of God and prostitutes them, has the temerity to put words into the mouth of the Almighty as though the Almighty is speaking in a soothing fashion, when in reality this is the roar of God's judgment, an epic scene as though there is a courtroom in session, and God is asking the questions, "Where are you? Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten? What is this that you have done?" God wants Adam to understand the full weight and gravity of his sin. He is now alienated from his own wife and has to cover himself. But worse than that, he is now alienated from God. He has sinned. And all of humanity bears the weight of that sin. Every curse in the present comes from the sin of Adam. It is a derivative. Pain in childbirth, working in thistles and thorns, the death of a mother, but ultimately the death not just of fellow human beings, but Christ, who now, as the second Adam, will pay the ultimate price for the sin of humanity. He will suffer more than anyone, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity, so that we might be reconciled. How anyone can take the full weight and gravity of that scene in the Scripture and turn it into a primer on self-esteem and success and nice self-talk is almost beyond belief. Indeed, it's one of those things that you don't really feel like you have to explain. The prostitution should be self-evident. And yet, there are tens of thousands holding their Bibles up in an Osteen meeting, in an Osteen rally, and they're saying, I believe what's in my Bible. But the reality is, if they did, they would never stand for what Osteen is teaching. For Osteen is simply using the Bible as a point of departure to teach whatever he wants. A self-help, self-esteem gospel, a repackaging of New Thought metaphysics for Christian consumption. It is almost unbelievable. I often thought when I heard him say this that his subtle deception is almost as deceptive as what the snake said in the garden. You know something's wrong with it, but maybe at first blush you can't figure it out. It's subtle. And that's the way the lie always comes. It's the skin of the truth stuffed with a deception, because if Satan presented error in its naked deformity, we would never buy into it. It's all part of the Osteenification of American Christianity. I've written about this in a book, again, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. We need to, at the end of the day, know what the perversions are, because if we do not, we're going to fall, and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions are in fact falling. When you think about the fact that impressions on Twitter and Facebook alone, 1 billion per month, according to Joel Osteen, that's a big audience. And people are living through the ripened fruit of this deception. Because this is not no harm, no foul. Behind the smile, there lies a darker hue. Again, the Osteenification of American Christianity available. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants. They're hanging on at the number 888-7000. And the letter CRI, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Eric in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, listen, I love your show. I think you probably just answered my question. Yesterday, you were talking about Osteen and Joseph Prince and those guys, and I was just curious. Do you think that they honestly believe that? Or do you think that, and I don't know if you can say this for fear of getting sued, but or do you think that they're crooks? Because to me it makes a difference. You know, in Romans, I think it was, Paul talks about the Gentiles were made righteous by their seeking good. So if these guys honestly believe this and they are misguided or they were mistaught, I think it would need to be handled differently than if they were just, I don't know, straight-out crooks. I just wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't want to put myself in the position of being able to judge anyone's heart. I can judge Joel Osteen's teachings in light of Scripture and hold fast to the good, but I cannot judge his heart. I don't have the wherewithal to be able to do that. I don't know what his motivations are. That's something that only God fully knows. I can take an educated guess. It seems highly unlikely that he could misread passage after passage after passage after passage in the Scripture, that he could take passages and turn them directly on their head, that he could say Scripture says when Scripture says precisely the opposite, or make a point from Scripture when that point is not in the Scripture at all. Seems hard for me to imagine that anyone could be that benighted. But again, I cannot judge his heart. What I can say is this. James 3, verse 1. Let not many of you be teachers, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment. I remember having dinner with Benny Hinn one night, and we were talking about these very things. And I looked him in the eye and told him, you cannot be cavalier about what you are communicating. People are making life decisions based on what you are saying. And all too often, these slick, and they're very slick today. I mean, the comb-overs are gone, the blue wigs are gone, the weird intonations mostly gone. Now it's slick, it's sophisticated. But it's still perversion. And it's not just perversion of anything, it is perversion of the sacred Scriptures. This is not Christianity. Whatever one might think about it, agree or disagree, it's not biblical Christianity. There's no doubt whatsoever about that. This has more akin to New Thought metaphysics than it does to Christianity. And again, the prostitution of the Scripture should be evident even to a pagan. But Joel Osteen is telling people what they want to hear. And trust me, it's good for business.
Has he always been this over the top, or did he just start this? I mean, I don't know anything about his career. I mean, his up to today. But has he always been like this, or is this just something that's happened in the last few years?
No, this is the consistent pattern of his teaching from the very start. And it's hard for me to say that it's gotten worse, but in reading some of his latest offerings, one would suspect it is getting worse.
Right. Well, listen, I appreciate your input, and I love your show. I listen to you every single chance I get. Keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Marcy in Wichita, Kansas, Bot Radio. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Hank. I'm conversing with a Jehovah's Witness, and she was wanting me to explain John 17:21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And I guess I couldn't even get back with her on that. Are believers also part of a unity? And then how does that relate to the Trinity?
Well, yes, I mean, it is true that it relates to the nature of God, in that the Bible's very clear. And in fact, from old to new, the Bible is fiercely monotheistic. There is only one God. Now, the fact that there's only one God does not in any way take away from the fact that there are personal self-distinctions within the Godhead, as this passage makes very clear. Indeed, the whole of Scripture makes clear that the Father sends the Son prays to the Father, the Son loves the Father, the Son sends the Counselor, and so forth. So that's what the Bible is in terms of its self-revelation of the nature of God, one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. But this passage is particularly noteworthy from the perspective of the witnesses, in that they don't believe that there's going to be one body when it comes to the believing community. They believe that there's going to be a heavenly group, and there's going to be an earthly group. The tickets for the heavenly group now sold out, limited to 144,000. But there's nothing in Scripture to suggest that we're going to be divided in eternity. No. We are going to be one. And quite frankly, the kinds of separations that we have within the body of Christ is a perversion of that oneness. The ultimate goal is to be one, but we can only be one around truth. And that's why we often say in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. If the kinds of things that I'm dealing with, for example, talking about the ostinification of American Christianity, was about nitpicking secondary issues that we can debate vigorously, we don't ultimately have to divide on, that would be divisive. However, when it comes to the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood, there has to be oneness, there has to be unity. And so we say again, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. I want to mention as we go to break that your support is very much needed this month. I've taken on a cause that certainly isn't politically correct and probably isn't going to help the bottom line, but the bottom line is this: we do what we do because truth matters, and we ask you to stand with us prayerfully as well as financially. Be right back.
I am blessed. I am prosperous. My God is a supersizing God. These self-affirmations from Houston preacher Joel Osteen are leading millions of people across America and around the world astray. And Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book to combat this new brand of Christianity that you need to get today. It's called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call to request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In the new book titled The Myth of Persecution, Notre Dame scholar Candida Moss argues that the tradition of long bloody persecutions of Christians by a hostile Roman Empire and the heroic martyrdoms of the faithful have been invented by the church and its historians. There is only one problem with this thesis: the actual historical evidence. Other topics include the gun control debate, two Christian perspectives. Alexander Solzhenitsyn confronts the Grand Inquisitor, what cops can teach Christians about the critical use of language, don't all religions lead to heaven, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Houston preacher Joel Osteen is the de facto high priest of a new brand of Christianity perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. He's the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that is nothing more than a cultish movement. Hank Hanegraaff has written a book that combats Osteen's false teachings with truth, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please go online to request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, equip.org. That's equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up, Valerie, Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to ask how you felt about Joyce Meyer. I hear a lot of negativity towards her, and I know that she tends to be a friend and supporter of Joel Osteen, and I certainly see the deception that he teaches. However, I've listened to a lot of Joyce Meyer. I've read a lot of her things. I feel like I'm really generally on point with discerning truth from non-truth, and I don't pick up a lot of those same things from her. And I wondered how you felt about her, and then if you felt like she was, you know, teaching deception, if you had some examples.
Yeah, there's no question whatsoever that Joyce Meyer would be part of the Osteenification of American Christianity. And the reason I say that is when you look at what she teaches with respect to faith, she teaches that faith is a force, that words are the containers of the force, and that through the force of faith, one creates their own reality, and that you get ultimately the things that you are speaking. She teaches using urban legends. She certainly tortures the scriptures in almost precisely the way that Joel Osteen does. In other words, some of the examples that I use in the Osteenification of American Christianity with respect to Joel Osteen apply directly to her. In fact, nary a word is different. A classic example of that would be where she says, the Bible tells us that we are to call the things that are not as though they were. Quoting Romans 4:17. Well, if you go to that passage, you find out that the Bible says nothing of the sort. It says God calls those things that are not as though they were. And the wording used by Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen is virtually identical, not only at that point, but at many other points as well. In terms of the atonement, she teaches that unless you believe that Jesus Christ went to hell in your place, you have no hope of going to heaven. Which is to say, she teaches very clearly that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ was not finished upon the cross, but rather finished in the cauldrons of hell. Furthermore, she teaches generational curses, and on it goes. So this is not to say that Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer never say anything that is good. You can go to Rhonda Byrne's The Secret and read some things that are good. But as a whole, this is a new brand of Christianity perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. It is the use of Scripture to communicate whatever these teachers want to communicate. So I would say that she and Osteen are very much in the same genre of prostitution of the scriptures.
Okay. And so do you believe that, you know, in, I guess like you said, they could say some good things, but I guess as a Christian myself and certainly wanting to, you know, follow the Bible as it is the Word of God, would you believe then that it would be, I guess, not okay to even look to any of their stuff? I mean, I can't even stomach Joel Osteen, but I'm a counselor by profession, so I guess there have been some things that I felt like Joyce Meyer presented in a way that would, from a counseling standpoint, would be helpful to other people.
And I agree with you. I don't think that there's anything wrong with a recognition of that. But in terms of the overall message, that message is more consistent with New Thought metaphysics than it is consistent with the teachings of Scripture. Here's an example from Joyce Meyer.
And, you know, I was listening to a set of tapes by one man, and he explained it like this, and I think this kind of gets the point across. He said, you know, why do people have such a fit about God calling his creation, his man, not his whole creation, but his man, little gods? If he's God, what's he going to call them but the God kind? I mean, if you as a human being have a baby, you call it a human kind. If cattle has another cattle, they call it cattle kind. So, I mean, what's God supposed to call us? Doesn't the Bible say we're created in his image? Now, you understand, I'm not saying you are God with a capital G. That is not the issue here, so don't go trying to stone me or yell blasphemy at me.
But see, this again is very, very subtle. She's saying that the ontology of human beings and the ontology of God are one and the same, when nothing could be farther from the truth. We are not little gods. It's true that we're created in the image of God or the imago Dei, but that does not mean that we represent God in his nature, but that we are reflections of what are called in theology the communicable attributes of God. So we can mirror the love of God. We can mirror the essence of volition as God does, but we're certainly not omniscient or omnipresent. We're not transcendent, and nor will we ever be a little representation of God. We reflect God, and we represent him to other people, but we don't represent his nature. The difference between God and humanity is a difference that can never be bridged with that kind of rhetoric.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate it. And you're right, it is very, very, very subtle. Very subtle. So that's very concerning, obviously. So thank you for writing that book, and I will sure be getting it, because obviously I need to know more than I do.
Valerie, thank you for your open-minded spirit, and thank you for your call today.
Thanks so much.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ron in Minnesota, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ron.
How you doing, Hank?
Doing well.
All right?
Everything's good.
Yeah, everything's... I got a question for you. I first started listening to you in California when I was out there, and then I finally got here to Minnesota, and now I got you on satellite radio. I got a friend of mine that's trying to get me into T.D. Jakes. And I don't know a whole lot about him. I've heard a couple of his sermons, and he sounds all right. He sounds like he puts people on point, but I really don't know a whole lot about him. But I know he's tied in with the Joel Osteen ministry, and that's why I'm calling to ask him.
Well, yeah, and again, I would say that this is part of the Osteenification of American Christianity on a lot of different levels. And this is layer upon layer upon layer of error. For example, one of the things that T.D. Jakes teaches is a give-to-get scheme. Watch how he does it. It's pretty subtle.
I want to pray over your seed, and it would be ridiculous for me to pray that God would give it back to you. Because if all he was going to do was give it back to you, you ought to keep it, and then you just have it. That's ridiculous. If you got $100 or $1,000, and you're going to give $1,000, and I tell you, well, God's going to give you the $1,000 back, well, you just broke even. You could have kept the $1,000 and not gone through the trouble. Come on, church folks. But God is going to give you some more on top of that. And as you sow it, I dare you to say it again. Oh, my God. We're about to get ours in here. I don't know what you're getting out there. Well, we're about to, somebody shout, increase!
Now, think about that message for just a moment. He's saying that if you give, let's say, $100, or you give $1,000, and all you get back from God is $100 or $1,000, then you just broke even, that you're better off keeping the money. Think about the ethic of that. Why do we give as Christians? We don't give to get. We give ultimately to reverence the Lord our God always. We give as a demonstration that we believe that the arm of God is far greater than the arm of flesh. We give because we see human need. We give to ministries because through those ministries we see people being redeemed, not only in time but for all eternity. So the whole notion of giving to get, and not just getting back what you give, but increase, and he has everybody yelling increase, is a prostitution of the biblical notion of giving. Again, it is the ostinification of American Christianity. It is the glory of the cross transposed into the paltry glory of consumerism. And this is what people are falling for. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't work. God has not built an economy on a give-to-get scale.
Amen.
And nor is there a magic bullet for the maladies that we suffer in the Christian world. That is a perversion. It is a lie. And when T.D. Jakes communicates it, or Joyce Meyer communicates it, or Joel Osteen communicates it, or Joseph Prince communicates it, or anybody else communicates it, it is false. Christianity does not give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties, the maladies of life. What it does is it gives us the hope of glory, a new heaven and a new earth where indwells righteousness, and that is what we look forward to. You look at the Apostle Paul, he suffered. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was left for dead. Was that because of his negative confession? No. It was because he was serving Christ, and Christ said, if I suffer, you'll suffer too. If they persecuted me, you also will be persecuted. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Go ahead.
Do you have a list of these people in your new book? Like what ministries there are all involved in this? And because I'm fairly new. I'm in Minnesota, and I know Matt Cannon tied with Kenneth Copeland, and that's a whole lot of feel good talk to you. And I've gotten past that as a young Christian. It was really cool, but when none of it came to fruition, I found out it was really bad.
But well, I've written about that in a lot of detail about people like that in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. But you know, you're pointing out another very significant fact, and that is that you got over it. You say, well, this is what happens. There are so many people lured into the front doors of these auditoriums that you don't see the people falling out the back doors, and sometimes they end up in the kingdom of the cults. Other times they end up not knowing what to believe or who to trust and thinking that the whole Christian enterprise is a sham. It shipwrecks the faith of people. And that's why we cannot be cavalier about these things. And really, quite frankly, it's why, probably against my better judgment, I decided to write The Ostinification of American Christianity, and why I'm putting it in your hands so you can understand the principles. Ostinification is not just about Joel Osteen. This applies to all kinds of people who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips but are teaching a glorified form of New Thought metaphysics that comes right out of the kingdom of the cults. We'll be right back with more answers in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
Sandy Hook School, the Washington Navy Yard, the Aurora Theater. Mass murders such as these have been shaking the national composure with alarming regularity, and such shootings only begin to tell the story of gun-related violence in America. Should current gun laws be strengthened, or does the solution lie elsewhere? The current edition of the Christian Research Journal offers differing perspectives on what Scripture, the Second Amendment, and statistics have to say. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Sandy Hook School, the Washington Navy Yard, the Aurora Theater. Mass murders such as these have been shaking the national composure with alarming regularity. And such shootings only begin to tell the story of gun-related violence in America. Should current gun laws be strengthened, or does the solution lie elsewhere? Other topics include The New Nothingness, a look at Lawrence Krauss's A Universe from Nothing. God is love, but is love God? Does the Bible require Christians to attend church? God and the unreasonable effectiveness of mathematics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book you need to get your hands on. Called The Osteenification of American Christianity, this important resource shines the light on one of the biggest threats to the church in America and around the world, and it shows how you can defend yourself against its lies that can leave you spiritually naked and vulnerable. The Osteenification of American Christianity is our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI with your gift and request it. 888-7000-CRI. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And speaking about your donation, we need many people to make the trip from being a donor to being a partner in the ministry. In other words, someone who gives on a regular, consistent basis, on a monthly basis. That would mean a lot to me, particularly right now. We have taken a big step of faith, certainly taking on a subject like this. When you look at the incredible popularity and clout of people like Joel Osteen, this is no small matter. And so again, we need people to make the trek from being donors to partners that give on a regular basis, and I would be pleased to personalize a copy of the Ostinification of American Christianity to you, a family member or a friend or any one of my books, when you make that trek from being a donor to a partner when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. You can check that out on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants as well, standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to James, listening in Virginia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, James.
Hey, Hank. My question has to do with evangelism and outreach. And what I want to do is to start a church. And every outreach and evangelism book that I have read is based upon reaching out to direct mail, advertisement, and some billboard signs, where the old days used to knock on the doors or go out to the highway hedges. And I know that you are a proponent of evangelism, and I think that one of the things that you emphasize is equipping. But my point is that I need to build a church. My target audience would be the lost. And so, if you were me, would you revert to the traditional way of evangelism, or would you promote evangelism by, like the new way, like direct mail and things of that sort?
No, I mean, I think you're on the right track. I mean, you look at people like Rick Warren. He started his church actually doing the very thing that you're suggesting with respect to going door to door and inviting people to come to church and so forth. But actually, you think about the biblical model. Jesus chose 12 men that they should be with him, and those 12 multiplied and multiplied and multiplied again. So the ultimate issue becomes equipping for evangelism, as you alluded to in the prologue to your question. So when you have someone that becomes a member of your church, that person should not only worship God and experience oneness with others and with you in the context of that church, but within the context of the church, they ought to be equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. So in doing that, what you have is a reproducing disciple maker. It's not just someone catching a fish, but becoming a fisherman. In other words, you're giving them the tools to wherever God gives them the opportunity to communicate the goodness of the gospel. And so that's the most effective model. And if you look at the short time where you had 12 scattered disciples, and one of them, of course, was a devil, Judas, and replaced by the apostle of the Gentiles, Paul, you see that they multiplied as a result of every believer being a reproducing disciple maker. So it's not the function of the pastor alone, but it is the pastor equipping God's people for works of service so the body might be built up and strengthened.
Yeah, I have read Rick Warren's book, and I do believe in the principle of multiplication and things that sort. But Rick Warren, when he wrote that book, it was back, I think, in 1995, and I think that his evangelistic methodology was back in the late 80s or something like that.
Yeah, but when you're talking about equipping for evangelism, you're talking about a universal principle. It is as accessible today as it was in the 80s or it was in the first century. The whole idea is that we are called to develop reproducing disciple makers. The elephant in the church, quite frankly, is disciple making to begin with. There are a lot of churches that make no bones about it. We're not here to make disciples. We're only here to make converts. And that is the systemic problem. In fact, one of the big problems, and it's something that I note in the Ostinification of American Christianity, is that even consumeristic church experiences can become the bane of the church, where you're going for an experience as opposed to worshiping God, experiencing oneness, and then ultimately being equipped effectively to reach your Jerusalem and around the world.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more, Hank. Not only that, I want to catch the fish, but I want to help convert the fish by training and through discipleship. And I think that is what's going on, and a lot of churches fail to do. But my question is, would you have a problem, or do you think it would be wrong for me to knock on the door of people's homes, or if you like Jehovah Witnesses, you know, they would just go out and just meet people at 7-Eleven and things of that sort. And for some reason, it's not that I don't want to do direct mail or anything like that, but it's just the fact that for some reason, I'm just feeling led to knock on doors and have that personal relationship with people and try to inspire them somehow to go to church. But more than that, once I get them at church, they have to be trained. And that will entail a lot of extensive discipleship training and things. And so, and that's another thing that I'm working on extensively. But my question is, you know, in terms of the methodology, should I be wrong going the old way, because people are experiencing trepidation and apprehension and things of that sort? Should I revert to the traditional method?
Well, I mean, knocking on doors may have been easier to do a number of years ago than it is today, but I can tell you that I am eternally grateful for the three people that knocked on my door in 1979 and attempted to share the gospel with me and ultimately got me thinking about the issue of origins by inviting me to a creation evolution seminar. So it was very effective in my life. But there are a lot of places that you meet people. I mean, the real issue at the end of the day is that if you're an equipped believer, God will give you opportunities. And I'll tell you something, James, with a heart like yours, I don't think God is going to deny you ministry. I think he will multiply your ministry, and that will be my prayer for you.
Right, right. You know, and that's my hope too. Not so much a multiplication. I am concerned about the more people we keep from going to hell, the better off we be. But my greatest concern is to make reproducing, disciple making people who
yep.
can withstand the wiles of the devil.
That's yeah, and that's exactly hope. That's exactly what you're called to do. And I pray that God will bless you in that. In that enterprise. Going to move along, go to Sharon now in Seattle, Washington, listening on KJCV. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Hank. I actually listened to you on KCIF out of Everett.
Oh.
Well, I couldn't remember. But my question is, I've often listened to John Hagee on television, and he seems to really preach the word. But after listening to you about Osteen, because I have heard him and a lot of these others, and I can see what you're saying about them, I hope he's not in that same category.
Well, he is in that same category. He shamelessly promotes the pretext of a prosperous Jesus. So he says that Jesus lived in a big house. And what does he do? He takes the scripture and twists it to make his point. He says, John 1:38 says that Jesus turned to those who were following and said, come with me. And they said, where dwellest thou? And he said, come and see. And Jesus took the crowd home with him to stay in his house. That meant it was a big house. Furthermore, he teaches that Jesus wore designer clothes. He says Jesus had a seamless robe so valuable that Roman soldiers gambled for it at the cross. It was a designer robe. And then he says, when you have to have a secretary treasurer to carry all the excess money, you're not poor. Well, as I demonstrated in my book, Christianity in Crisis, the notion of a Jesus with a Rolex is the stuff of myths and fables. The crowd Jesus allegedly invited to stay with him in his mansion is the mere figment of Hagee's overactive imagination. I mean, the very passage that he cites makes it absolutely clear that far from inviting a crowd to join him in his mansion, Jesus invited two people to see where he was staying. And the notion that the soldiers gambled for Christ's garment because it was so valuable is completely ad hoc. In reality, they cast lots for the garment, not only that Scripture might be fulfilled, as John 19 puts it, but because, as common sense would dictate, one garment divided into four rags would be of little value. And even if we suppose that this was an expensive undergarment, there's no warrant to presume that the closet of Christ's mansion was replete with more of the same. And nor can we presume that because the disciples had a money bag, that Jesus was a multi-million dollar Messiah. But this is the kind of thing that Joel Osteen and John Hagee and others are doing. They're taking the text and they're fudging it. They're twisting it just enough so that they can teach their prosperity gospel.
Okay, well, I don't listen to him all the time. In fact, I haven't listened to him for quite a while. I used to listen to him a lot, but I gave up television because there's nothing good on it anymore, and I was just curious where he fell on this.
And you would hope that Christian television would be the bright spot on television in general, but unfortunately, it is a black spot by and large on the cause of Christ, and so often you have not the name of Christ exalted, but Christ dragged through the mud of the prosperity gospel. Again, the Osteenification of American Christianity, available for your gift all this month. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. So if you are hanging on, please be patient. I will get to you. And for everybody else listening in for the next hour, you can call 888-ASK-HANK, ask your question. I'll record my answers to your questions and play my answers to your questions on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I happen to be traveling. Again, the number that you can dial right now and for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK, and I will continue to answer your questions for the next hour. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your support. Lord knows we need it. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a new book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine,
combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In the new book titled The Myth of Persecution, Notre Dame scholar Candida Moss argues that the tradition of long, bloody persecutions of Christians by a hostile Roman Empire and the heroic martyrdoms of the faithful have been invented by the church and its historians. There is only one problem with this thesis, the actual historical evidence. Other topics include the gun control debate, two Christian perspectives. Alexander Solzhenitsyn confronts the Grand Inquisitor. What cops can teach Christians about the critical use of language? Don't all religions lead to heaven? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.